Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. In this video, I'm considering how President Vladimir Putin could be overthrown. And of course, the risk of that has risen substantially since this Ukrainian incursion into Kursk has been going on for 19 days now. So it's staggering, longer than anyone thought. The Ukrainian army has consistently exceeded expectations, and the Russian army has almost always underperformed compared to what people expected in this Russo-Ukrainian war going on for 2.5 years. Well, the risk is higher because, of course, Putin, who poses Mr. Security, has failed to deliver on that key plank of his mandate. Remember, I was there in Russia in the 2018 so-called election, and there was a radio ad saying Russia's military forces are now the strongest in the world. It was one sentence. So he provides the military. Since about 2008, he was hugely expanding the military budget. Admittedly, since between 1991 and 2008, there was almost no new equipment bought or manufactured. So they had a lot of catching up to do. And they failed in that regard. It's just not stood up to the ultimate test on the battlefield, despite numerical superiority. They've had so much kit destroyed. And that's why really he's a paper tiger. And he says, oh, I might do something against NATO, when he can't even defeat Ukraine. And he's lost so many tanks, artillery pieces, whatever, infantry fighting vehicles, even planes, a few ships. So he's got not very much to threaten anybody else with. So generals think that he's misdirecting the war. Maybe he shouldn't have started it. He's not sufficiently supported them, hasn't broadened and conscriptions he should have done, hasn't had a total war economy saying we don't care about living standards, everything to military production, versus those who might want to end the war. Blame has always been passed down the ranks rather than who's really responsible. It's him. He was the one who decided to launch the war. If incompetent generals were appointed, he was the one who appointed them. If people should have been dismissed, he didn't dismiss them. If the general strategy was wrong, he didn't overrule them. Really, it's him. But of course, he's always deflecting blame downwards. No. He never got it wrong. So that's why he's obviously such a coward, despite being completely evil, not taking responsibility. When ultimately you are responsible, even if indirectly, you're responsible for the people responsible because you put them there. So if the cost of the war is just too high, that's more people would turn against him. But I think we're some way off that. I don't think there's going to be a coup d'etat this year. How brittle the regime is was demonstrated, obviously, June last year, when that's when Yevgeny Prigozhin went on with his, I suppose we'll call it coup d'etat. I mean, admitted for under 24 hours, there was that deal he agreed to turn back. That shows how feeble Putin was. Why couldn't they simply finish him off? Why make any concessions? Now, I know Putin reneged on the deal. He always does. And let that be a lesson to you if you think there can be some negotiations. You know he'll break the deal. You know he'll stab you in the back. Okay? A bit surprising that an old street thug like Prigozhin would fall for one of his own tricks, agreeing to a truce, when then obviously the other side breaking it as soon as he thought he could get away with it. Obviously it's the army, but Putin is very aware of this, which is why there are, I've got too much light coming in, why there are not that many army units near the center of Moscow, and it's got to be Moscow. Russia is very, very centralized. Why he's got a polycratic regime, a bit like the Third Reich, which he uses as model for his system, with his cult of the personality, with ultra-nationalism, with these youth organizations inculcating people in all this bellicose propaganda, with adulating these mythic heroes and so forth, with this sort of blood and soil nationalism, with racism against ethnic minorities and so forth. But polycratic, because you don't want just one group, the army or whatever, who's too powerful, who could possibly push him out of the power. He's got the Federal Protective Services as bodyguards. He's got the Rosgvardia, which they founded was in 2016. The Ministry of the Interior troops. The FSB has got some special forces. And I just kind of think who else there are. So, and that's why play them off against each other. The Spetsnaz Alpha Group, you know, the various armed units, real crack units within the Federal Služba Bezpečnosti. But some of these people could get their heads together and overthrow him. He's always valued canine loyalty over competence, which is partly why they've performed so poorly. That incompetence failure is not necessarily a reason for sacking or dismissal under him, so long as he thinks, you know, you've got no ideas of your own, which is why second raters tend to get promoted, because they make him look clever by comparison. They're not really a threat. They're people who share his mindset, who honestly think that the sun shines out is proverbial. But someone could overthrow him yet. You look at examples where that happened or attempts for it to happen. 2023 from Wagner Group, that private mercenary company. And there are a number of other ones like Redoute, which are private mercenary companies. Wagner simply be absorbed into the army. You look at sort of 1991, that coup d'etat, we just passed the 33rd anniversary of independence. And it was really the Comité de Gazette, the Committee for State Security, KGB, their intelligence, both internal and external service. It was the head of them, Khrushchev, and various others who turned against him. And the army was largely against Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev at the time. Admittedly, that failed because of people power, but the people don't have any power. They've been cowed, would-be dissidents have already been murdered, given very long prison sentences, fled abroad. So that's largely been neutralized. There are very few courageous people out there to start leading the protests. So there are virtually no street protests. So he's effectively neutralized that as a threat. But, you know, could some core commanders turn against him, elements of the FSB? Possibly. Remember, they were not particularly keen to save him. In 2023, whilst they didn't join the mutiny, neither did they stop it. And it's thought that Suravikin was at least aware of this, which is why he was arrested soon afterwards, has never returned to service, has been ill for over a year with some unnamed illness. So it could be them. So 1991 coup failed, carried on for 3 days. They were not quite ruthless enough. Or the 1993, that October attempted coup, and it wasn't clear which way the army was going to go. The last minute they did come on Yeltsin's side was elements of the parliament. But obviously, the parliament is a complete Putinite rubber stamp, and that's why there's almost nobody who's remotely oppositional there. So I don't think it would come for them. You know, there was Nikita Khrushchev was thrown out by members of his own elite at the Politburo 1964 for a comfortable retirement. And that was a sort of a Politburo coup d'etat. Not really, because they just voted him out. Actually, they did go through the path of constitutionality. Apparently attempted coup sometime before that. And what else am I going to say? Even in 1941, Stalin thought he so screwed it up when he didn't go out to see his Politburo. They came to him and set up that State Defense Committee, thinking, that's it, they're pushing me out. Who'll be the chairman of this? And you will. They didn't push him out. What else? I mean, Stalin using the security services to eliminate his rivals in the 1920s and 30s, not really a coup d'etat, but almost certainly is going to come from within the regime. Oddly enough, in 1991, it was actually the masses that saved the legal government, President Gorbachev. Now, we had to go way back to October 1917, the Bolsheviks, and that because they had some army and navy units on their side, as well as, you know, the Red Guard. So that's what we're able to do. It wasn't really the masses, much as they like to pretend. It was just highly organized, obdurate, disciplined forces in St. Petersburg, later elsewhere. Last time there was sort of a mass takeover, I suppose, was the February Revolution, 1917. So almost certainly come from people within the elite. The trouble is the people at the top, like Naryshkin, Patrushev, and so on, Ivanov, they're really cut from the same cloth, of the same generation, people who grew up in St. Petersburg mostly. Belousov in the Ministry of Defense, Gerasimov. So it's difficult to see which one of them would make the first move. It might have to be people from an echelon below that would try and push him out. They think the war is too costly or this is fought too badly, but we're some way off that. You know, if this Kursk incursion goes really well, they say 3,000 Russians might be forced to surrender. Even that is not really threatening him. The Russian armed forces are about 1 million strong. I know Russia claims they're considerably stronger than that. So 300,000 is still very small. If it was in the tens of thousands, then it was where it might start to turn. But I mean, don't see that happening for at least several months. It might not happen at all. But the four ways Putin could leave office: he could die in office, he could retire, he could lose an election, or he'd be overthrown. Now, him losing election, I mean, there are no elections worth the name in Russia, so that ain't going to happen. Dying in office is a considerable possibility if we're talking about natural causes, because, you know, he's already 71, so can go on for another 11 more years if he wins one more presidential term. And he may be actually quite ill. You see how puffy his face is. Is that all Botox? And rumors about Parkinson's or cancer although you can live a very long time with these things, or you can die a lot more suddenly than people anticipated. So that I give quite a high chance. That I give like almost a 50% chance, or be overthrown or be, choose to retire. I think choosing to retire is quite low, like about 10% chance. Think then my wealth gets taken, then I got a life sentence, may even be killed. The chance to be overthrown, I think, is actually quite high, like about 40%, which might not be very soon. Overthrown could be assassinated at that moment, or indeed there could be a very gentle overthrowal, as in like when Khrushchev, you can have a comfortable retirement. Depends how this war is going, but it's just not going his way at the moment. He was banking on Trump coming back with a Republican Congress, and that is looking less likely than before. So this war probably going to go on for at least a few more years. We shall see. So it's not looking good for him. That doesn't automatically mean that his replacement is someone more amenable to the West or Ukraine. Could be someone who's more competent and even more aggressive. Right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.